Hey guys, welcome to episode 1 of the Everyday Immunity Podcast. I'm your host, Alicia Rosati from Rosati Nutrition. I don't know about you guys, but I am slowly going insane being stuck inside the same four walls all day, every day. I have been working from home for a while, since November of 2019, I believe. So I'm used to it, but I'm more used to being at home alone for the majority of the day, and now my entire family is home. So as you can assume, this is not ideal for me. I am slowly going insane. I mean, like, you really have to love your family, because when you're surrounded by them all day, every day, it's a chore. It's hard. It's a next level, like, putting work into a relationship. But anyways, so today's episode, I want to give you guys a little bit of a background of who I am, what I've been through, why I think I can have a say in any of this, if we're being honest, just to kind of give you guys some, like, background. So starting off from the first most notable milestone in my life, I guess, I was born. And I wasn't born in an easy, quick, nice way. I really feel bad for my mom, holy. So I was born 10 days overdue after my mom was induced. I was comfy, man. I did not want to come out. I was chilling, apparently. So yeah, they induced my mom and she was in labor for quite some time. And then finally they had lost my heartbeat. Now they didn't know if the baby heart monitor fell off my head or if something was seriously wrong, but my mom's blood pressure also dropped and she passed out, so they didn't want to take any chances. Bam, my mom was rushed for an emergency C-section, so that's fine, and that's pretty routine. A lot of people are having C-sections nowadays, but a lot of times people don't know, like, I don't want to say repercussions, that sounds kind of harsh, but they don't know the outcome after that. And it's okay. That's no fault of their own. It is fixable. But at least, like, to be informed, right? So yeah, I was born via C-section, and I was not breastfed. My mom tried and tried, and of no fault of her own, she just was unable to breastfeed. And that, again, that's totally fine. I don't want any moms or pregnant ladies out there to start worrying about that. It's not your fault if you can't. I mean, like, that's the way the cookie crumbles. That's just how things happen. But at least we know what to do moving forward. So why is this even remotely important, you may ask? Well, if you think about it, the first contact with any bacteria or the outside world is when we're passing through our mom's birth canal. So when you're in the womb, your food is pre-fed or pre-digested for you, your air is pre-breathed for you, everything is done for you. I mean, like, simpler days, easier times. It was, that's why I didn't want to come out, I guess. It was easy life. But yeah, so your first contact with the outside world is when you are rudely kicked out of your cozy home. So when we are not born vaginally, naturally, we don't have that contact. And a lot of beneficial bacteria actually lives in the birth canal. It's slightly acidic, which wards off, like, bad bacteria. So when we don't have that, we're at a slight disadvantage, which I was. You also get fed, well, if you're breastfed, that's another source for you to get some of that beneficial bacteria and some antibodies that your mom has already made that she just passes on to you, which is really, really nice, because again, your body has not come into contact with the outside world. You don't know how to react to the outside world, but your mom does. So her immune system helps out your immune system and starts helping you fight off all the bacteria that you are quickly coming into contact with in the hospital. So when you're not breastfed and you're not born vaginally, now you're at a double disadvantage, which I was. And I read a study a little while ago. I'll have to look it up and then hopefully put it in the show notes. But I read somewhere that babies who were not born vaginally, who were born via C-section and who were not breastfed, actually had a higher risk of developing asthma, developing digestive issues, allergies, all of which I have. So I feel like I may be the poster child for that study. So if you guys know what study I'm talking about, definitely hit me up. But yeah, so I just thought that was really, really interesting for me to see myself that, like, yo, I fit what this study is trying to prove. It's kind of crazy, kind of scary, but we roll with it. So yeah, I was born with asthma, and I also had a super weak immune system. I mean, like, I was sick every month, almost on the dot. Like, it was unreal the amount of school that I was missing, how crappy I felt. It was just, if something could go wrong, it happened to me. I had ear infections constantly, strep throat constantly. I once had a double ear infection and strep at the same time, just to kind of paint a picture of what I dealt with. So in an attempt to give me a better life, the specialist recommended that I remove my tonsils and my adenoids and put tubes in my ears in the first grade, which is what I did. So your tonsils, I'm sure you guys all know what those are. Those are at the back of your throat. Mine were so inflamed that they could have cut off my breathing. So to avoid that, I had them removed. And your adenoids are kind of the same thing, but they're located like at the back of your nasal cavity. It's a really difficult location to describe. So look up a picture of where they're located and you'll understand. But yeah, so I had those guys removed. And I had these tiny little tubes put in my ears. And that was in an attempt to help my ears drain better, because the specialist thought that that could be why I was getting constant ear infections. So had that surgery, and we found out that it didn't really work as well as we had hoped. I was still getting sick all the time, still missing a ton of school, and just miserable because I would always be sick. So this is about like kindergarten and the first grade, and really through my whole elementary years. Then in grade six, I think it was grade five or six, I started noticing that when I ate certain fruit, my mouth would become itchy. And I told my mom. She thought nothing of it because I was a crybaby back then. So again, no fault of her own. I would have told my kid to shut up and deal with it too. But we later found out that it was actually an allergy. So one day I came home from school and I had my two little plums like I normally did. And I developed hives around my mouth, which was not fun, slightly scary. So right away my mom was like, oh crap, like this is something serious. Benadryl, the whole nine yards. We made a doctor's appointment and I went to see an allergy specialist. And I did that little prick test where they put a bunch of different potential allergens on your skin. I did mine on the inside of my arms, and then they prick just like the end of your skin, like the top layer, so that some of that can enter into your body. And then you wait a little bit and see how your body responds, and depending on the size of the inflammation, that tells you whether you're seriously allergic, mildly allergic, or not allergic. So we found out that I had a birch tree allergy. I'm allergic to, here we go, maple, cedar, birch, oak, and poplar trees. I'm allergic to cat dander. I'm allergic to like regular pollen, like seasonal pollen. Dust really bothers me. And I'm allergic to apples, peaches, pears, plums, cherries, anything with like a pit or a core. And it sucks because I used to eat those all the time. Like I'd come home from school in elementary school and skip the cookies for an apple. Like, who does that? And then finds out that they're allergic to it. Like, this is not fair. But that's the hand that I was dealt, so we deal with it. So yeah, that was in grade six. And in grade six, I also got my period. Like, grade six was not a good year for me. And ever since I've had my period has been terrible. The doctor put me on the pill. then I didn't want to be on the pill because it just, like, ruined my life. Then put me on a new pill, tried a different pill, and I've been on the pill on and off for years. I finally came off of it about a month ago, for good this time. So, I'm skipping a lot of steps here. That was grade 6. Grade 9, I believe it was September. Yeah, September, October-ish. I was going to my locker upstairs on the second floor as usual, and I noticed, like, I'd be winded halfway up the stairs. And, like, I don't mean winded like I'm an inactive teenager. I mean winded like I just ran a 5K marathon. And I'm like, what the heck? I went up half a flight of stairs. And then once I got to the top, I was dizzy. Like, when I say dizzy, I mean, like, ringing in my ears, tunnel vision, shaking hands, like, my life is over, what the heck is happening? But I found that it would always be better when I ate food, especially when I ate sugar. So I remember distinctly one day, I had been at school for like half an hour before school started, because I always got there early. And the bell rang, went to my first period class, was sitting in class for about 15 minutes, and I told my teacher, like, sir, I gotta go home. Like, I'm either gonna throw up or pass out, possibly both, but, like, I need to go home. He was kind of ticked off, but, and my parents were too, like, didn't they just drop me off? But such is life. So went home, finally decided, like, yeah, this is kind of serious, we should probably go see the doctor. And at this time, we were regularly going to the naturopath, so we went there. And, well, where we go for the naturopath, it's not, like, a full-blown, like, single individual naturopath. We go to the naturopathic clinic, and I love it there. You get your visits for significantly cheaper, so that's a plus. The only downside is you're seen by a fourth year intern, so your intern is going to change every year, but it's totally safe. Like, they cannot actually prescribe you anything until the full-fledged doctor comes and signs off on everything, so, like, it's totally safe. I highly recommend. But yeah, so we went there. We all agreed that it likely sounded like hypoglycemia, which is low blood sugar. So we decided that the next weekend I would come back and we would do a fasting blood test. I wanted to die. That was absolutely terrible. I was so dizzy. So yeah, finally did the blood test. I was about to pass out. My intern, Dr. Judy, was absolutely fantastic. She saw that I was about to pass out and she totally talked me out of it. She is honestly like 10 out of 10. She's amazing. So yeah, did that, got the results back and found that my blood sugar was actually normal. So back to square one, we didn't know what it could be. So me, of course, I go and I have to research this myself because, I don't know, I was a weird kid. So I go research it all myself, and the next time we go back to the naturopath, I come in with a folder full of scientific studies and papers and notes, and I'm like, listen, I know you're probably going to diagnose me with, like, whatever I actually do have, but hear me out, I think I might know what I have. I think I have adrenal fatigue, and because A, B, C, D, and I pulled out all the stops. And her jaw dropped. Like, that's what she was actually going to diagnose me with. And she is a fourth year naturopathic intern. Like, what? So called the doctor in. She was amazed too. Everybody was kind of like blown away. And I was sitting on a high horse, I won't lie, that, like, yo, I just diagnosed myself and I was right. Like, that's pretty wicked for someone in ninth grade. What? I was like 14. So that was pretty cool. We went through some things and we figured it all out, and I'll be talking about that in an upcoming episode, because a lot of people deal with adrenal fatigue and they really don't even realize it. A lot of conventional medical doctors actually don't even recognize it as a legitimate condition, which they totally should, because it's a real thing. But yeah, so I'll discuss that later. So that was grade 9. Grade 10 and 11, I was thankfully okay. Grade 12, again, in around September, October, I woke up one morning with my eyes swollen shut. I thought it was an allergy. My mom thought it was an allergy, but we hadn't changed laundry detergent. I hadn't changed, like, face soap, anything. Nothing had changed. So I took a Benadryl and I went back to sleep, hoping that I could sleep it off. The next morning, woke up with the same thing, and the morning after that, same thing. So we went to the doctor again. Nothing's changed. Everything's been the same. She felt my neck, and right away she's like, I think you have mono. Like, what? I'm sorry. I was not desirable in grade 12. I could tell you that. I was not kissing anybody. I did not have a boyfriend. So I was confused, and I'm like, shit, my parents are going to hate me. They're going to think that I've been kissing someone. And I, honest to God, wasn't. And right away, my doctor was like, no, this is not infectious mono that you normally get. This is from stress. And I'm like, thank you for coming to my defense. So yeah, but she told me it was because I was just like so stressing myself out with school, which I always did. My parents never pressured me to get 90s across the board, but I don't know why I put that pressure on myself. I used to think that anything below an 80 was a failure. Yeah, it was a pretty messed up way of thinking, and just like a lot of unnecessary pressure on myself, which led to a lot of conditions that I had to deal with. So yeah, she tells me I have mono. She tells me I cannot go to school, no ifs, ands, or buts. So I'm home from school for 5 or 6 weeks, I believe. And at this time, I was in a biotech course. So my school was like the only school that had it. It's normal chemistry, biology, but it also had some university material in it. And then we had a separate period strictly for biotechnology research and projects. So it was a lot of work. Like I had a lot of homework every day, but honestly, like it was okay. Like I loved the material. It's just, I put all that pressure on myself to finish like next week's homework the week before. Like why? I don't know, but that's what I did. And I had to pay for it in the end. So missed 5 or 6 weeks of school, and mono actually attacked my liver and my spleen. Like my liver was shot. My enzymes were at like alcoholic levels, almost causing permanent damage. And my spleen was at risk of rupturing. So I had to take weekly blood tests for that period of time, and stay home like strictly on bed rest. It was a terrible time in my life. I would not wish mono on anybody, not on my worst enemy, nobody. It's absolutely the worst thing that you could go through, in my opinion. So yeah, that was grade 12. And then university was okay. I went through the normal like depressive episodes, being on my own for the first time, the normal stress, all of that. But of course I had to stress myself over and above, which is normal for me, but not for my body. So I started noticing again around September, October, that everything I ate was bothering my stomach. Like I would take a couple bites and feel sick, and I'm lactose intolerant too. So I'm like, I know for a fact there are no milk products in this. Like, why is this bothering me? And we did all the necessary tests because Crohn's and colitis run in my family, so the doctor wanted to rule that out right away. Thankfully, it's not that. We did all the testing, blood tests and stool cultures, and again, not a fun time in my life. And we came to figure out there's nothing really wrong with me. So I went to see a specialist, and he told me that it is stress-induced IBS. So clearly we have a recurring theme here that I need to chill the fuck out. which I'm working on. So yeah, that's what I've been dealing with for the last little bit. So as you can see, I have had my fair share of stress-induced illnesses and conditions, and I have honestly learned a lot through this life. Like I could sit here and just say, why me? Like, why? Well, it's not fair, which it's not, but I'm trying to take this as like a lifelong teaching moment. Where I can learn something about my body and learn the different foods that I can eat each day that are going to help my body rather than hurt my body. And different techniques and methods that I can use to calm down and stop stressing myself out and just like live life day by day and enjoy it. Which, like I said, is something that I've been working on, and I've come a long way, a long, long way. And I'm proud of myself for that. So that's why I wanted to share some of those tips with you guys in this podcast. I know I kind of went through a lot in here. I briefly talked about asthma and being born C-section, not being breastfed, having allergies, adrenal fatigue, a messed up period. What am I missing? Mono and IBS. So there's a lot to talk about. There's a lot to cover. Definitely could not cover it all in one episode. I hope you guys understand. But I will be going into depth more about all these different conditions, what I've done. As far as allergies go, I can eat an apple every day now and not have an issue. Whereas before, I would eat 2 bites of an apple and bam, I need a Benadryl. So I'll discuss like things that I've done to help my allergies. I haven't used my inhaler for my asthma in years. I had to use it one time last year, which was a work-related incident that was not fun, sent me to the ER, and that was the only time I really needed my inhaler. Aside from that, like, I haven't used it strictly for asthma purposes for years, not even when I'm sick, and I really don't get sick that often anymore. Like, I maybe catch a cold or a flu, like, literally once a year, and it lasts a few days, and then I'm done. Like, that's it. Whereas coming from a kid who was sick once a month, like, I'm freaking proud of that. So I'll discuss all of that. I'll talk about the mono thing, what I took to get over that quicker, because the doctor thought I was going to be out of school for 3 months. And she's telling me to calm down. And I'm like, yo, lady, like, you're not helping my stress levels here by telling me that I'm going to miss 3 months of school and not going to be able to graduate on time. Like, that's really calming me down. So, yeah, I'll talk about, like, the natural things that I took to help my body recover, and which caused me to only miss 5 or 6 weeks as opposed to 3 months. So, yeah, I'll talk about all of that. I'll talk about what I've been doing for my IBS, what I took to really, really help it. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to the next few episodes talking about that with you guys. Please, please, please follow me on Instagram at Rosati Nutrition. Like my Facebook page, Rosati Nutrition. Sign up for my email newsletter at rosatinutrition.ca. That's where I share, like, if I'm ever having a sale or a deal on my services, it will be through one of those three sources. But yeah, I'm really excited for this. Please let me know if there's a specific topic you guys would like me to talk about or discuss. I'm happy to do that. There's, like, a lot of information on the internet that's very misleading and very conflicting. So I'd like to share my perspective on it. I just would like to know what you guys want to hear from me. So give me ideas. I'm always down for that. But yeah, this little solo chit chat has been fun. I'm looking forward to hearing back from you guys. Any feedback would be greatly, greatly appreciated. But until the next episode, this has been your host, Alicia Rosati from Rosati Nutrition, and can't wait to talk to you in the next one.